Turn your Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read five portions. You can keep your finger here. You don't need to go to the others. Just listen. But Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What about us? Are we toiling through the night and not taking anything? Or are we listening to what the Lord says, his word, and being obedient to it? Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Then James chapter 1, verse 8 says this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? Where are you? Revelation 3, verses 15 through 18. These are the Lord's words we know to the church of Laodicea. He said, I know thy works, that thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Not necessarily encouraging verses tonight, but I think it's important for us to look again at what the Lord Jesus said about the last church, because I really believe that's the day and time we're living. And we can sure see this in our own lives. Not cold or hot. And the Lord says, I wish you were either one or the other. He says, you're just lukewarm. You've got one foot here and one foot over there. He says, make up your mind. And that's what Elijah told the people of Israel. He said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord is the God of Israel, then believe him and follow him. But if it's Baal, then follow him. Whoever it's the Lord, follow him. How long are you going to sit there in two opinions? Don't stand the fence. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And Simon just brings that out when he says, we've been out here all night, Lord, trying to catch some fish. And you're telling us to let the net down again, let down the nets? Okay, at your word we'll let down the net. What is really the Christian life made up of? Jim Elliot said this about the Christian life. We all know this quote. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Someone has said that life is not a sudden blaze of glory won, but just an adding up of days in which God's will is done. It's just one day at a time, doing what God has asked us to do. I'd like to speak tonight on choices. Choices. As Christians, those of us who know the Lord, sometimes as we go through life, we really feel like we're not even in control of our lives. And that's just true. The Lord is in control of our lives. And yet, as we look back, we can see choices that we've made that might have been better made otherwise. Maybe we made the wrong choice, and it really affected our lives. I'd like to look with you tonight at some of the choices in the Scriptures that it points out to us. The thing that got me thinking along this line was a couple weeks ago in Choice Gleanings on Monday. This was written. This was a verse. You cannot serve God and money. And this is what it said. In the New Testament, it is never Christ and. Because one never needs to add anything to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and Omega and all the alphabet between. But it is Christ or something. The world, it's Christ or the world. It's Christ or Belial. It's Christ or Egypt. It's Christ or Caesar. The Bible never says you should not serve both God and money. It says you cannot serve both God and money. All through the New Testament, we have questions raised, really, to our own hearts individually. Who is it? Is it the Lord Jesus, or is it something else? And you can just picture tonight that here's the Lord Jesus. He's standing over here, and he's all that we need. And yet over here, there's everything else that the world's got to offer. All things and everything else that can draw our attention away from him. But he's all we really need. And the scripture points this out to us over and over again. In Matthew 6, verse 24, the Lord Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." And then he finishes it by saying, you cannot serve God and money. What's our goal in life? Is it to make money? And we can do that by work. If I choose work over, for instance, being at meetings, I'm choosing money, maybe, over Christ. It's Christ or money, not Christ and money. I'm thankful that the Lord keeps many of us poor. That way we'll trust him like we should. If we had the money, we'd forget him, just like Israel did. Cannot serve two masters. What about necessities of life? What are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to wear? And the Lord said that all those things the nations seek after, those basic necessities in life. We know some in the world, and I don't have those basic necessities. But what does the Lord say? All these things the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's always been intriguing to me to watch children. And I've never heard one yet. I've heard them ask, where are we going to eat? But they never ask their parents, is there anything to eat tonight? I've never heard one say that. Is there anything to eat? But what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? You know, not a question of whether they're going to have something or not. There's there. The provision's been made. And yet we, as we get older, we still look at those things. We want to go for food, we go for clothing, and yet we leave the Lord totally out of the picture. Christ or necessities? When it comes right down to it, if we had our choice, we'd rather go to a nice dinner or sit down with the Word of God and listen to the Lord. We've got our choice. The Lord tells us that in his temptation, he was without food for 40 days. And the first temptation Satan hit him with was, make these stones into bread. Perfectly legitimate request, make these stones into bread. And there would have been nothing wrong if the Lord had done that. And yet he recognized that was not the Father's will for him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's really our necessity. It's the Word of God. What about parents or children? Listen to the Lord's words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is an amazing verse, isn't it? If you love your father or your mother more than me, you're not worthy. If you love your children more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Now, the Lord's not saying here that we shouldn't love our parents or love our children. But he's saying we should love him first in our lives. Christ, our parents, our children. Perhaps the Lord might say to one of us tonight, I want you to go and leave your parents and serve me somewhere. Are we willing to do that? Are the parents willing to give them up? We love our children so much we have to keep them in our grasp. Are we willing to let the Lord do with them what he wants to do with them. Challenging verse to our hearts. We know that all these things are gifts from the Lord, and they're really not ours to begin with. They're His. What about Christ or death? What did the Lord say He was? I am life. So that's really a question. Is it going to be Christ or death? He that findeth his life, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. If we're just seeking to do our own thing in life, do what we want to do, the Lord says you're going to lose your life. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The Lord said, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundant, a better life, not the usual, get up in the morning, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to bed. Is that all there is to life? There's not much worthwhile in that. But the Lord wants us to have an abundant life. You know, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, that if you're not with me, you're against me. There's no middle ground. If you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got to make a choice. And if you don't make a choice, you have made a choice. That's what the Lord's saying. If you're not with me, you're against me. So is it Christ or you? Who's more important? There has to be a decision made. Remember what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 tells us? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect it, we've made our decision. We're saying no to the Lord Jesus. We need to trust Him and make a decision with Christ or against Him. In Psalm chapter 1, the psalmist brings out whose counsel is more important to us? Whose word means more to us? The Lord's word to us or the words of the ungodly? Remember what he said? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he said in verse 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Some of us have good friends in the world, and we may go to them and ask them about different things in our lives. But the psalmist points out, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Does it have to be an unsaved person to be an ungodly person? No. It could be a Christian that's giving you ungodly advice. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And every one of us needs to realize the importance, again, of the Word of God in our own lives. And meditating doesn't say reading it day and night. Some of us do that. It says think about it day and night. Read one verse in the morning and think about that in the morning and think about it at night. Meditate upon it. And that's the counsel that we need. It's what the Lord told us. He holds up the mirror, and we don't like to read the Bible because it shows us what we really are. And we hate to see what we really are. And yet that's what we need. We need the truth, and we need the Lord's help to become what He would have us to be. Who's it going to be, Christ or me? Christ or me? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and follow me. That's the cost. If we're going to follow Christ, it means a denial of ourselves. And as we think, brothers and sisters, tonight, as we look into our own heart, we think of how many times when it comes down to a choice, is it going to be the Lord or me? We know what decisions is made. But the Lord says to his disciples, if a man will come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He has to be crucified with Christ. Sometimes we can get our eyes off of the Lord and we can look at others, even other Christians. Is it Christ or is it others? Remember the mistake Peter made on the Mount of Transfiguration? Lord, we want to make it a tabernacle for you and for Moses and for Elijah. And it wasn't a very long period of time when God opened the heavens. And he took those two men out of the picture and he said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Sometimes we get our eyes on others and we can get discouraged. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Christ, or these things are legitimate. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking at other Christians and following them as they follow Christ. But our main focus has to be the Lord Jesus. What about houses? Is it Christ or houses? Is it Christ or brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or land? You ask me why I'm sad. That's what the verse says in Matthew 19:29. "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." To leave our homeland and go somewhere, a mission field, to leave our brothers and sisters, or father and mother, our wives, children, lands, are we willing to do that? The Lord said, if you are, you'll receive a hundredfold for laying down your life for his sake. We read these verses very casually, don't we? We sing hymns. We sing verses of hymns so often that do we really mean them? Sometimes I don't even want to sing the verses because I know I can't. We're the whole realm. The whole realm, what about what I have? Am I willing to give that to him? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my all. Everyone that hath forsaken, we forsake these things and we run to the Lord Jesus. What about the best thing that we have, the treasures that we have? Are we willing to give those up for Christ? We talked before about Mary. She said, "Alabaster box of ointment, a year's salary." She's poured it out on the Lord Jesus. We see the love and the dedication of her heart. She was willing to give that up. It's been so easy just to keep it. To think, well, one day I'm going to use this for whoever I marry. I'm just going to keep it. But no, she poured it on the Lord Jesus. And one day she is going to marry him anyway. What a wonderful thing that is. Christ, or keep those things that mean something to us. You remember that rich young ruler comes to the Lord? What must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, well, he's kept the law, kept every point of the law, but the Lord hit him on one point of the law. So do you really love your neighbor? You go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And we read in Mark chapter 10, verse 22, that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. You know, brothers and sisters, I believe tonight that if God were to take everything each one of us had, every possession that we have, that we would come to know the Lord Jesus in a way we've never known him before. You take everything we had. I remember Granddad, 10 minutes. Only 10 minutes. Tidal wave came in, wiped out the house he had built, lost one of his children, everything he had. And looking at their lives, they never cared one bit anymore about what the world had offered. They saw it all gone in 10 minutes. Is it Christ? Is it really him? Or is it the things that we possess? And what a blessed thing it would be if the Lord would take those things away so that we could really love him for who he is and what he is able to do for us. It's not so much the possessions, it's the possessions keeping our heart from him. The Lord always looks at not what we give, but what we hold back. Are we willing to give everything? Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him up. Abraham, because thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest. Because thou hast not withheld. The widow, two mites, all that she had. The Lord said she gave more than they all, because she gave of her one. She gave all that she had. The rich just came in and gave a portion of what they had. But this woman gave it all. What about Christ or service? Sometimes we think that our service is so important. And yet what really matters is, what is my own relationship to the Lord Jesus? Mary, she chose the good part. It shall not be taken from her. Martha, it tells us, was cumbered about with much serving. She was just worn out from doing the work around the house. And how many of the ladies can say that? Just worn out of cleaning up the house and taking care of it. And yet Mary chose that good part. Sometimes we can be so occupied with those things that we don't take the time to sit and hear the words of the Lord Jesus. Wilbur Chapman once asked F.B. Meyer, he said, "What's the matter with me?" He said, "So many times I seem half empty as a Christian and so many times utterly powerless. What's the matter?" And F.B. Meyer gave him this little illustration. He said, "Have you ever tried to breathe in, breathe out three times without breathing in once?" You try that right now. Try to breathe out three times without taking a breath. Can you do it? And the example he gave is this. He said, you need to breathe in order to breathe out. It's in proportion. You take one breath, and we're able to breathe out again. And he says the same thing in your Christian life. If you don't breathe in first, you can't breathe out. We need to be in the book. We need to read and pray so that will have effect in our lives. This little boy went to his friend's house, and every time he walked into the house, here's the grandmother sitting, and she's just wholly engrossed in reading her Bible. And every day he came over there, was the same thing. So finally, he couldn't stand anymore, and he had to ask his friend. He says, "What is it with your grandmother? Or every day I come in here, she's just reading the Bible." And he said, "Well, I think she's cramming for her finals." You know, but as we get older, we do read the Word of God, and we need it as we're younger, too, every day. Christ or the world? We've been reminded in Peter about the world, and our brother Gustafson this morning was again, it's all going to be dissolved. It's all history. Not one thing we see is going to be here except for the souls of men and women and the Word of God. James chapter 4, verse 4, he talks to believers and he says, he calls them a very serious name. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." That's serious in the Word of God. He says, "Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." Why does he say adulterers and adulteresses? Why does he use that title? It's because every Christian man here tonight and every Christian woman is engaged to be married. We're engaged to be married to the Lord Jesus. And every time we go out into the world and we get something in the world or we look at it, it's pleasures, it's attractions, it's things, we're really committing spiritual adultery against the Lord Jesus himself. You cannot serve those things. You will be the enemy of God. That's what it tells us. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Why would we be an enemy of God if we're a friend of the world? Wasn't it the world that crucified the Lord Jesus? Wasn't it the world that put him to death? And if we're a friend of the world, we need to question our own hearts whether we're really born again. If we really know the Lord at all. Because he said, if you are going to follow me, you're going to suffer. Just like I suffer. The world will hate you as it hates me. Does the world hate us? Can it stand us? Or does it hate us? If we're living the life that we should be living, I'm sure we would get the same reaction that the Lord Jesus got. What about other apostles? You remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about these Christians saying, well, and this is the big division we have today. Well, I'm a Lutheran. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, we're with the assemblies. I'm just paraphrasing it. He says, I was baptized of Paul, and I'm baptized of Peter. And he just asked one question and just drove the knife right into their heart. He says, was I crucified for you? Did I die for you? There's only one who died for us. It's the Lord Jesus himself. And we need to be careful that we don't put too much stock in men, but that we believe Christ and realize what he has done for us. Sometimes as we please the Lord, it's going to cost us, not only in the world, like we mentioned, but it's going to cost us with other believers, too. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. This is what the Apostle Paul says. For do I now seek the favor of men or of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, listen to what he says, I should not be the servant of Christ. If our goal is to please men, we cannot be the servant of Christ. We need to tell it like it is. Whatever the Lord laid on our heart, we need to speak it in love and in truth, grace and truth mixed together. So am I going to please Christ or others? Sometimes if we listen to the world, as we listen to other believers, they can perhaps hold us back from something that the Lord Jesus has called us to do. Just because everybody doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to obey the Lord, does that mean that I shouldn't obey the Lord? Everybody else is doing it or not doing it. Does that mean we shouldn't do it or not do it? It's what the Lord says. Remember what Peter said? Paul says it and Peter says it. We ought to obey God rather than men. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It's more important to obey the word of God and just to hear it and let it go in one ear and out the other. Christ or Belial, the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. But he says a couple verses later, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't marry an unbeliever. In our business, don't be associated, getting a business agreement with unbelievers. That's what he's saying. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers, but come out and be separate, saith the Lord. It's a choice. I can make a choice. I'm going to marry an unbeliever. I can make that choice, but I'm going to pay for that choice. Same thing in business. If I choose to sign a contract and have a partner that's an unbeliever, I'm going to pay for that choice. Choices are incredibly important in our lives, whether we make the right choice or the wrong choice. Christ or Christians? Paul writes something in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. It's hard to believe. He writes about believers, but this is what he says. But I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. But such an one, no, not to eat. Christians. Christians can be, or a so-called Christian, he says, can be living a life that's out of character with that of a true Christian. And if that's true, we need to withdraw ourselves from them and not have fellowship with them. Why? Because they're going to do us more harm than good. Choices. Christ or Christian? What about covetous? Any of us believers covetous of what other people have? Or idolaters? Maybe we have idols in our life other than Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. He is first. Christ or my own, what I want. Paul has an incredible testimony about Timothy. And I wish these verses could be true about me. I really do. What he says in Philippians about Timothy. Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. He says this. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Did you hear what he said? Naturally care for your state. It was Timothy's whole life and being that he naturally cared for Christians. He cared about their welfare. That was his nature. Notice what he says. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Are we seeking our own? Are we seeking others? Others' needs above our own. Over and over again in the Gospels, when the Lord called his disciples, we read the same thing over and over again. And it's important for us as believers to recognize what the Lord said. Peter and Andrew, they're out fishing. The Lord says, follow me. You know what it says they did? They left all and followed him. James and John, mending their nets. The Lord walked by. Follow me. And we read, they left their father and all and followed him. Matthew was sitting right there at the tax collector's office, collecting taxes, doing his job. The Lord says, Matthew, follow me. Any questions asked? We don't read of a single question being asked by any of those men. They stood up and they moved and they obeyed the Lord Jesus and they followed him. What about us? The Lord has called us, those of us who know him. Have we left all and followed him? Are we willing to give up everything we have to have the Lord Jesus? To have Christ? It's not, our choices we make, our jobs. I was talking to Heather this morning. I remember a time when if I were going to move to a house, I'm just talking about Christians in general. I remember Christians, if they had to make a move, did they have their home close to the chapel or to their job? I remember a time when people lived close to the chapel. But today, the choice that men make, Christians make, is I'm going to live close to my job. I think it should be the other way around. I'll tell you why. I've got to go to work. I don't have to go to meeting. At least that's what I think. So if I live close to the chapel, it'll be easy to get there. And I won't have the excuse. I remember Sundays. We used to call it the Lord's Day. But now it's Sunday. It's a day like any other day. Choices that we make. Just little choices, but they really impact our lives. I remember when I used to work at McDonald's a long time ago. It's 15, a little McDonald's cap on, a little thing and all that. But I remember working there. And I used to work on meeting nights. And it really affected my life as a Christian. And I made a covenant with the Lord after that job that I would never, with his help, take a job again unless I could be at the meetings. And I've just been very upfront with other employers. Does it involve Sunday? Can't do it. Involve Wednesday night? Can't do it. And the meeting nights. But if it affects a meeting, the Lord said if we honor him, he'll honor us. Just choices in our lives. What about at school? Those of us who are younger, they're going to school. The choices you make in school, who your friends are, that's important, those choices that we make. Should I lie? Should I cheat in this test? Or should I tell the truth? Little choices, and yet they're big choices for each of us. It's not necessarily that we always choose something that's evil, but the choices more are, here's something that's good, but here's something that's better. And I want to use a parable that the Lord told. Remember he told about the merchant man? It says the merchant man went out searching for goodly pearls. So obviously he was a merchant man in pearls, wasn't he? That's what he was looking for. So he wasn't diddly down with things that were bad. He was looking for pearls. And it says that when he found the pearl of great price, he sold all that he had, everything that he had, and bought that pearl. The question is, in our lives, are we willing, after we found the best pearl, to sell all that we have to get the best pearl, the Lord Jesus? I remember way back, Brent and I wanted to go see a Disney movie, The Son of Flubber. Kind of applies today, doesn't it? But I remember going to Dad and saying, I want to go see this movie. And Brent was there with me. And Dad asked us one question. I'll never forget it because there's a lot of wisdom on his part. He didn't say, you shouldn't go. I don't want you going to the movie. He didn't say any of that. He just said this. He said, will it make you a better Christian? I looked at Brent. He looked at me. He said, no. It really won't make me a better Christian. And so that was the end of the question. Great wisdom in that. And we can apply that just about in any area of our lives, can't we? If I go here, will this make me a better Christian? A choice. If I turn on the boob tube, or if I sit down and write a letter to another believer that needs some encouragement, or if I pick up the phone and call him, or whatever else I could do, read the Word and pray. It's a choice, isn't it? Many of us make those choices over and over and over again, and they hinder us as believers. And really, what we're doing is we're saying, I want this. This is more important to me than the Lord Jesus. That's what we're saying. Christ or other things. Someone has said, the Lord tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I know I'm not speaking to those that forsake because they're not here tonight. But sometimes even we can be tempted to do that. And the Lord says, don't do that so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need one another's fellowship. And if you're not here, you're robbing me and you're robbing the Lord of your presence. But somebody said this, if absence makes the heart grow fonder, then there's some Christian that must really love the Lord and really love the church. If absence makes the heart go fonder. And some people say, well, I can worship the Lord at home. You can, because the Lord says that. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I'm not saying if you don't get together with other Christians at your home, that's different. I'm saying we need one another. It's very vital. Three kinds of Christians. Effective Christians. Doing what the Lord wants them to do. Being what the Lord wants them to be. There's ineffective Christians that don't accomplish what the Lord wants them to do. And there's plain old defective Christians. We have to wonder if they're really saved at all. Or if it's just a profession. Effective, ineffective, and defective. One missionary, as she was dying, she whispered one word. She said, bring. Bring. And they asked her, what is it that you want us to bring? She said, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Are we willing to do that in our individual lives? To really crown him Lord of all? Remember, Dad spoke a while back some three words, what Peter said. Not so, Lord. And he just pointed out all through his life how many times Peter had done that. The Lord told Peter, you're going to deny me. Not so, Lord. The others will, but not me. And all the different instances in his life. Rise up and eat. Rise, kill up and eat. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. And the point is, you can never say not so and Lord. If you call the Lord Jesus Lord, then what he says is true. And we can't say not so to him. Do we feel like that missionary did? Do we know the Lord that way? Or when we're going to die, we just say, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He's worthy. He loved each one of us so much he's willing to die for us. Every time we come and remember him, we remember how far away we really are from him, how sinful we are, and yet we remember his great love for us. May the Lord help us as we look at these choices that we won't hold between two opinions anymore. I'm speaking to my own heart tonight too. That the Lord will be all in all. That we will crown him in our lives. Lord of everything. Lord, help us today and tomorrow and the next day to crown thee Lord of all. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Sometimes we sing, must I go? And empty-handed, not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Some of us may go through our lives and be testimonies and yet never see someone come to Christ. But must we empty-handed go? Lord, we've toiled all night. We've done everything that we know how to do in fishing to catch these fish. And we haven't caught anything. But at thy word, because you said it, we'll go and do it. And he didn't fully obey even then. Just let down one net and almost broke the boat and the net with how many fish he caught. What about us? Are we willing to do what the Lord says, to obey him, so that we won't toil our whole lives and have nothing to show for it, that our lives will really count for him? Master, taking nothing. Adam, Keith, I could call every name here tonight that I know are believers. Where are you? Where are you in your relationship with me? Don't want you lukewarm, the Lord said. I don't want my church to be lukewarm. I'd rather have them cold, where they're totally away from me, or hot, where they're on fire for my name, rather than being lukewarm. What Jim Elliot said, it always has been a challenge to us as believers. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. May the Lord help each one of us to live a life worthy of the name that we've been called by. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We think in our own hearts and lives how many choices we've made that have been tremendously bad choices. How many times we've left thee out of our lives. And we just realize the mistakes we've made. And while we don't look backwards, but we look forwards, we just ask thee to help us to recognize thy lordship in our lives and to ask for thy help every day to be truly crucified with the Lord Jesus. I die daily is what the Apostle Paul could say. Help us to be, Lord Jesus, what you would have us to be. More than anything else in the world, this is what we want. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for thy continued faithfulness to us. We realize it's not our faithfulness to thee or our commitment to thee, but it's been thy commitment to us, thy faithfulness to us. Great is thy faithfulness, and thy mercies are made new every morning. Lord Jesus, we pray for each young person, each Christian here tonight, each young boy and girl. We pray for those of us who are older, those with families, those who are grandparents. Lord, we just pray for each one of us that we might make the right choices, that we might recognize afresh what the Apostle Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We give thee thanks for our time together in the Lord Jesus' precious name.